It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 320 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This week is a great interview as I talk with one of my favorite writers, Caleb Toussaint, the creator of such good things as Alter Life, Zed, and Nook. He's got a Kickstarter going on right now that really deserves your support, and it's a wrap-up to the Alter Life initial storyline. So I think you're going to really enjoy it. So be sure to go to Kickstarter after you listen to this interview and support this wonderful Kickstarter and this terrific comic. We talk about how he came to be, and I kind of quiz him a little bit about how he may resemble his own main character in Alter Life. We talk about what's in the future as well, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Caleb has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's always fun to talk with Caleb Toussaint, the creator of Alter Life, among other good things like Zed, and another book for his Patreon. How are you doing today, Caleb?
I'm doing very well.
Now, one of the reasons we're talking today is because you have a Kickstarter going on. And at the time we're recording it, you're about halfway there, which is good. Now, by the time this posts, hopefully you'll be more than halfway there, which we look forward to. But yes. It's called Alter Life, Journey to the End, hardcover graphic novel. This is a conclusion, apparently, the fifth issue of the Alter Life storyline, which is... Now, I always like to give a little background. I met you first up at Wizard World Chicago, where I saw your book and I really enjoyed it. I took it back to my hotel room with you after I bought it from you, and I really liked it. I thought it was a really good story. And then, of course, you made the serious mistake of sending me the script for issue 4, which I couldn't resist reading. So I know more than many people may at this point, but I have not seen 5.
Yes.
It's something that's going to be really interesting to me. So talk to me a little bit about Alter Life and the hardcover and what this means to you in this journey as a comics creator.
Well, it all has come down to this at this point. This is when I started doing this. It was for Alter Life. I jumped into making comic books coming off of working on movies for a while, and I decided to bring this cool idea that I had to comic book form because I thought it was the most reasonable way to get it put together. And this is coming on 2.5 years later that we're finally coming to the end here. I am really excited because I'm going to bring it not only a fifth issue to people that have been following along. So, you know, you don't have to buy the big book. If you have been following from the beginning, you can still buy your single issue. But I'm definitely going to pack in some really cool stuff and some bonuses for people if they go up to the hardcover that I'm putting a lot of effort into making it something special. So new artwork, there's going to be the variant artwork from all the campaigns prior will be packed in the back. Some production type things I'm going to put in there, like script to page. Just stuff that when I pick up a big hardcover book that I look for, stuff that I like to see in the back of a book. So
cool. Now, I should mention right away that the Kickstarter is going to end on Sunday, April 1st at noon Eastern time. So at this point, let's see, that'd be about 20 days to go roughly when this comes out. So good thing. I looked on the Kickstarter And, of course, it's Alter-Life, just in case people try to look for a journey to the end. And you've got not one but two videos up there, so you're pulling out all the stops this time.
Yeah, I'm going to keep throwing up new videos and stuff as we go to a lot of me just talking about the special things we're putting into this this campaign this time. I made a little teaser that I released prior to the campaign. I kind of built a video off of that, and then I built a big trailer for the whole book as well. So, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to put everything out there for people to get excited about this, because it's something that I really think is special, and I think a lot of people have come to me at this point with these later issues kind of floored by the twists and turns that we've been taking with it too. So
Now I should also mention the fact that I have supported this. I put in $35 to get a hardcover edition, because I'd like to have this for my library. I'd like to have this for sure, because it's really good. Another thing you've done to make things available to people is that you've put a link on there that says read the first two issues by free for clicking here.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that. I mean, a lot of people might say, oh my gosh, you don't want to put your issues out there for free, because then they have no people won't buy the book.
Well, I mean, I am confident enough in my storytelling that I think that if you read those first two issues, you're going to want to read the rest of it, and you're going to want to have the book to come back and read those after you get to the end. So it's just the type of story I've built that has layers in it that you're going to, after you read all the way to the end, you're going to close that book, and then it's going to be stuck in your head, and you're going to want to go back and open it again just to read it all over again.
So. Now, I should mention too that the two issues are digital versions, yes, of the book, of course, which makes a big difference. And you've got a picture of what looks to be the cover of the hardcover, which mm-hmm. looks good, which I think we've seen that cover somewhere before, but it's a little enhanced, yeah, seems to me. I think
we did a little update version of some artwork that Katrina did before, and we added some little tweaks and new color scheme that I thought just felt better for this book, something that really pops. Mm-hmm. So
it's really cool. So issue 5. So let's see how this is gonna come out. If you have gotten 1 through 4, and you're just gonna get 5, is that gonna, that obviously that should come before the hardcover, right?
Well, the plan is if you order just a single issue, more you'll likely get that shipped to you prior. The book, of course, will take longer to print.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, these things take, I got to put the pieces together for the stuff in the back of the book.
Right.
It's just a little more formatting that goes into it. And then the printing itself usually takes about a month or two more than what I can do with the single issues. Mm-hmm. So it'll just be a little bit longer of a turnaround, but not anything too drastic. So mm-hmm.
No, you've got issue 5 as a regular cover, and then you've got a variant cover. And
yes.
Talk about the variant cover a little.
Well, this is something I kind of did from the beginning, and I didn't want to go into the last campaign not doing one of these, because I feel like everybody kind of is used to it and like wants to see the cool interpretations from different artists at this point. So I asked a friend of mine that has been working with me on my Patreon comic Nook to do the variant for this one. Mm-hmm. And of course he was more than obliged to jump on board and help. So mm-hmm. I threw the artwork up there. You can already see it up on the Kickstarter page.
Yep, it's pretty cool. He's standing there and it looks like he's got, well, I don't want to say that because that might spoil something. But there's pictures of him apparently up on TV screens up above, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So it's really an interesting, it's colorful, it's got like magenta. It's one of the things I always like about your stuff, the color schemes are always visually interesting to look at. You've got lots of magentas and aqua blues and stuff like that all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's something really, I think visually is going to be stunning for people to see.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. We kind of stuck with a certain type of feel with these last pieces of art that we're putting into everything. And as far as color scheme, and I just personally, after the last issue that we did, issue 4, the color scheme kind of, to me, that Chris Rina came up with on that cover just blew me away. And it ended up being like my favorite piece of art that we've come out with so far in the book. So I told her, I was like, let's do this hardcover more along those lines. So she kind of took it and ran with that. So
very cool. Now, another thing that's important about that, if you look at the variant cover thing, you have a link to your Patreon. Yes. Which is going to be nice, because that's how you get Nook, is to subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
How's the Patreon doing? I mean, has it met your expectations? What do you think about how the Patreon's doing?
Well, I honestly, my issue is I haven't really had the time with working on Alter Life to devote as much to Patreon as I probably should be doing. As far as my expectations, I can't really complain, because I'm getting a comic book finished, at least a page or two a month finished for no cost to me. It's just the patrons paying for it. So, I mean, it's not exceeding my expectations, but it's also doing something. It's a very useful tool, because it's getting me artwork finished that I wouldn't be able to pay for any other way. So
that's cool. Well, at least, you know, it gets you able to do these things.
Which
is a nice change.
Just another tool. And honestly, the goal for me with Nook is, once we get Alter Life finished, I'm going to spend a lot more time getting that going a little faster, so we can get that out the door, because I've had really good feedback about that book. So
now, there's one a piece of information about the hardcover that I didn't hear you mention, that I saw on the Kickstarter, the fact that it's 200 pages.
Yes.
Which is a lot of pages to have in a hardcover these days. A lot of hardcovers aren't quite that big anymore, just a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But you've really stocked it up. You said you put some other stuff into it and things like that, which are going to be really going to be great. I'm really looking forward to getting it.
Yes.
200 pages is, I have to say, for somebody who is basically getting started in the comics industry, that's an accomplishment.
Oh, thanks. Honestly, like, I look at these other graphic novels that are on Kickstarter, and I mean, a lot of them are really high quality, and I'm glad that people are funding them all, but I'm seeing people paying $25-$30 for 40-60 page books, and I'm just thinking that I want to give you guys something special for, I mean, you guys are paying for this book to be made, so I want to give you guys what you want. So this is all based on your feedback, and I just want to bring something that I would want on my shelf to you guys. So, you know, I'm not messing around. I'm putting in some like short story comic books that I've done over the past couple years, and all kinds of artwork, all kinds of production stuff. Mm-hmm. And actually, something I'd be happy to kind of announce right now that mm-hmm. you might have seen that I've added on the Kickstarter recently.
Mm-hmm.
An artist that you're familiar with, Walter Ostley.
Right.
I've talked to him, and if we can actually hit the $11,000 mark mm-hmm. on this Kickstarter, mm-hmm. we're going to add chapter art from him that kind of breaks up each chapter in the book. And he's already basically said, yes, I'll do it. Just let me know. So
cool.
I'm pretty excited about that, because he did a variant cover for issue 3 that was spectacular too. And I love his art style, and to be able to have some images of different interpretations of ideas in this book from him will be great. So,
and for people who don't know, Walter is probably best known for Shiver Bureau, which is right now being published by Scout Comics. He has self-published that in hardcover. which I got a hold of, which I really liked. But I liked his covers. I think his covers are some of his best that I've ever seen him do. So I think you inspired him to do some great work.
Yeah.
That's was good stuff. So I'm kind of interested to know, there's something that I've been thinking about ever since I've been reading the Kickstarter. And it's I don't want to be too personal, but on the other hand, I do. Because Jake is the main character, and let me read the real brief description before I dive into that. In a world of seemingly infinite realities, Jake is on a quest to find his dead wife and daughter, but nothing is what it seems. I keep thinking about this, that Jake has some resemblance to you, especially now. Because Jake... Because let me point it out to people before we get into discussions, the fact that, you know, you're married, you can now have a son, and, you know, all these good things are going on. You're on a quest to get your book published and stuff like that. And I'm just kind of fascinated because Jake, of course, thankfully your wife and child are not dead, as appears in the book. But on the other hand, did you think that you would come to this place where Jake is kind of, you know, along the same road someplace when you started the story?
It's interesting. I mean, that's that age-old question. Does life interpret art, or does art interpret life, right?
Right.
So, of course, Jake is pulled from very personal things. When I first wrote the story, it was a story about feeling trapped.
Mm-hmm.
I was stuck in a dead-end job for 8 years, and my way of trying to break myself out of it was writing these comic books. So, Jake's a very personal character. I wrote him with a wife and child, maybe because that was a dream that I hoped to achieve at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, to lose something like that would be the most heartbreaking thing in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it was a very interesting character. I would say, in a way,
mm-hmm.
I had an idea that this might be something that I would very much relate to eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's kind of the point of how I was trying to write Jake, though, is I want him to be somebody that everybody can relate to in some way. So
mm-hmm.
I tried to ground him as much as possible. He's a failed writer. He works in a crappy office job. I mean, he is at wit's end about what to do with himself. Instead of writing, he plays video games all the time. I mean, it's all things I think a lot of people can relate to. So I think basically that's kind of where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's just trying to make him a relatable guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said something that is, I've got to follow up on. You talked about the fact that he was a failed writer. And one of the things that it says on the Kickstarter page, and I got to read this, with this final issue and trade edition funded and this book in hand, I will be forging a path to a career as a comic book creator. This is a chance to bring a beautiful and complete story to current fans and new readers. This is my first trade to take to conventions and so publishers and distributors that I have stories worthy of being told. Which,
yes.
You know, in my mind, that's already been accomplished. I think you've brought a lot of us along with you on the journey, which is really great. But I have to tell you something, though. I think you're doing the right thing because I help another creator on an indie comic, and it got
mm-hmm.
picked up by a comic publisher, and one of the things that was really a benefit was the fact that the issues were in hand. He
mm-hmm.
didn't have to go start making it from scratch. And so you're going to have that same benefit, is that if you talk to publishers, you're going to say, I have these issues, we can start publishing tomorrow if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the goal from year one. I've just known that most independent publishers don't pick up creator-owned material unless it's complete. I mean, it's not to their benefit to pay you to make something that's not made already. So I've done all the research figuring all that stuff out, and was told by a number of colleagues to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And so I just figured, you know, at worst, I end up with a book that I can sell myself, mm-hmm. and I can continue to make other stuff, mm-hmm. and maybe some of my other ideas get picked up. But either way, mm-hmm. the goal with this book is to show people that, look, this is a full 5-issue story arc mm-hmm. that I think is worthy of being seen by all of you comic mm-hmm. book readers out there. So, mm-hmm.
which is cool. I mean, I have to say that the friend of mine that I'm thinking of, the book that they got picked up by a company did well, and now they're looking at his other stuff. What else can you do that we can publish? Which is what I'd like to see with yours. I'd like to see Zed, and I'd like to see Nook, and all these other things really start to become published. And, you know, you've got your own company with Village Comics. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if that was like a part of another publishing company, that you had your own imprint or something. I think that would be
possible,
a great thing to see.
I think that's definitely possible in the future. I've had talks with people about moving forward with some potential things like that, but at this point, I just want to get Alter Life mm-hmm. in the can, so we have a solid book that shows my writing and shows what I can put together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm diving back into Zed, I'm diving into Nook, I have a number of other ideas that I've come up with that I need to dive into writing again. So it's one thing at a time. It's a little more difficult with the 7-month-old son. Yep. But,
well, now that you bring him up, how's he doing, by the way? I see his pictures on Facebook, and he really looks like a cute
awesome.
Kid.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Yeah, he's way ahead of himself, man. He needs to slow down. He's like already trying to walk around and stuff. He's like 8 months old. He's
like, he's cute.
He's a handful. Yeah, he's definitely a handful.
But doesn't he inspire you to want to tell good stories? And don't you see? I've never had a child, so all I can do is kind of extrapolate what I've seen other people do. You can see stories being that you can tell inside the life of people around you. And I keep thinking somebody that's new looks at things differently than you might as an adult. And that might inspire you to tell a different story than you might if you'd never had him.
That's very true. And actually talking about that, I'm going to launch another Kickstarter this summer that's going to be a little kids board book. So, actually based off of me playing around with my son and playing with his toys with him and stuff. So
cool.
it's true. It's just like it happens. Like this is, if you're a writer, you pull in ideas from everywhere. And if I'm spending all my time with this little boy, of course my ideas are going to start coming from him. So
well, you're going to see things because it's going to be a different perspective than you might have. And that's going to inspire you to tell something a little different than you might have. I don't know if you ever heard the story. C.S. Lewis wrote the Chronicles of Narnia book series. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It was like six-book series. And the reason he wrote them was during World War II, they ended up sending children out of London to get away from the bombing. And the one thing he discovered was that the children were always going to say to him, "What are we going to do now?" And so he started telling these stories to them. And that's where the Chronicles of Narnia came from. If he didn't have those kids with him in his home, he probably never would have written those things. But because those kids were there and they wanted stories, he ended up telling them, and the whole world benefited from it, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, that's probably part of where the Nook story comes from, too, that I've been writing for Patreon. 'Cause it's from a small girl's perspective escaping World War II. So I'm writing from a different perspective than I've ever written before. Mm-hmm. You new eyes mm-hmm. to kind of see from that innocent perspective.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good. Now, I do want to mention the other couple of things you have in the Kickstarter as well. You have book plates.
Yes.
That you're going to, as we go along, you can get, there's a trade edition official book plate, a producer book plate, Alter Life beta tester book plate. So you've got all kinds of good things going on, and they're really nice.
The beta tester book plate is something special that I put in that's just for people that have backed prior, backed any of the campaigns, and that buys the book at this point. Will get that for free added into their book. So just a little fun thing that, you know, I want to kind of give back to these people that have been giving so much for the past 2 years waiting for this story. So
cool. Well, that's good stuff. Now let's see. There was another thing down here I wanted to mention. The stretch goal you mentioned about chapter art and things like that. Mm-hmm. You even give a funding breakdown and talk about who the creators are. Yes. And things like that. So it's a very informative. I really like, because not many Kickstarters have all the information that yours does. And you give a much more in-depth thing about the story. If somebody wants to read that, they can certainly do that. So it's going to be great stuff. It's going to be fun to get a hold of this hardcover and read that issue number 5. Because
I can't wait. Yeah.
Has 4 come out yet? Have you been mailing out 4?
4 has been mailed. Okay, I'm surprised you haven't got yours yet, actually.
I just don't remember. I try to keep track of a whole bunch of stuff, and sometimes I forget. You know, even the best ones, I kind of forget a little bit, so I don't want to. Of course, I already read the script, so I may not be into it as after I read that story, and I told you what I thought of that. I was very surprised with number 4. I did not see that coming at all. That's why 5. I'm wondering, now you've got to wrap it up. How are you going to wrap this up? Something I got to see when we get to issue 5, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm hearing this from many people that are getting their books now. They're like, holy crap, I can't believe that what just happened. And they're like kind of happy and excited and slightly angry that they have to wait a little bit longer to get that last chapter. But
well, I have to ask you, of course, you know, you said you've been working on this for a couple of years now. What's it like with the end in sight? You talked about Journey to the End. What's it like for you as a creator? You've been working on this for so long, and the end is now in sight. I mean, how does that feel for you? Because, you know, this may be your first time coming to the end. The reason I ask this is I'll tell you a quick story. I was part of a small Star Trek writer group, and we wanted to write fan film scripts just because we were interested in all that. And I had this one story in my head for like 2 years, and we would get together on Saturday nights and we would write it out. And I'll never forget that the time we wrote the final words of it. This really weird rush came over me, because, you know, now this story was no longer in my head. It was down on the paper. And I just sat there kind of like, oh my gosh, I said, I can't believe it. It's actually a script now instead of, just floating around in my brain. I mean, what's your feeling at this point? I mean, well, first of all, where are you as far as issue 5 goes? How far along are you?
Well, it's kind of works in layers for me, because I wrote these scripts a year and a half ago at this point. The whole thing was written out. So at this point, I'm just like, basically before I do a Kickstarter, I go through and edit and make sure everything's cleaned up and everything works well with what I've written with for everything else. But this was the kind of story that I kind of had to write everything out. I couldn't go issue by issue, or else I had the big potential of screwing everything up and having all kinds of holes. So, I mean, in that sense, like, the book was kind of, I mean, it was partially finished a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I had that relief then of the writing, but now getting through this trudge of, like, all of the fundraising and marketing and getting people on board and building your audience, like, this, it's exciting for me, because now I'm kind of seeing the benefits of all of the time that I've put into this, because I can push the button on a Kickstarter and 50 people back it within the first 2 days. So it's like night and day from when I launched my first one. I almost have the same number of backers now in like the fifth day than I did the whole Kickstarter for my first one. So in a sense, there's going to be a huge relief when this Kickstarter is over, because I'll be able to move on to something new. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's bittersweet because these Ultralife fans are here for Ultralife, and my next step is going to have to be bringing them over to something new. So,
well, if you've already convinced them with Ultralife, I would say that's not going to be a difficult process. True. You know, because like I've read Zed, you know, I got a couple of issues of Zed, which I really like, because I was interested in that because of Ultralife. And so I think you're going to find people are going to be more interested because they've got Ultralife under their belts than less. I think they're going to really want to be able to follow Zed. I think that's going to be something that's going to... I think you're going to find that to be the case. I think that because you've developed this fan base, and, you know, I was going to say, you must be an expert at Kickstarters by now. This is number five for you. You know, most people go in and they call it the daily heart attack. You know, I don't know if someone's going to contribute today or not kind of stuff. But you know, now you've reached a place where this is a little less... I say less stressful, but I'm sure that every day it's still that same, how's this going to go today? How's it going to happen?
Yeah, you can't escape that. Like, it's as many times you do this, it's not predictable because there's so many other factors. There's other things on Kickstarter that your timing could just be completely off. Mm-hmm. So now that I have the fan base, at least, that have read this far, I have... those people I know are probably coming back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's still, today was slow for the Kickstarter. So I'm like, you still have those moments. But even though I'm almost at 50% in like the first week, it's like, you're still freaking out about it because it's just the nature of the beast, I guess.
See, you hear stories, and I know people who had their Kickstarter funded within 24 hours, you know, and then you go, oh, why didn't mine do that?
Exactly.
You know, kind of stuff. You can't help that. But I have to say, there are a lot of people who would like to, at this point in the campaign, be 50% or more. That's pretty darn good. I know a lot of people who would like to be there.
You always compare yourself to somebody else, though, and... I'm comparing myself to people that are launching $20,000 campaigns and getting them funded in a week. And I'm like, why can't I do that? And it's
But you are where you are. You know, I'll tell you a story that's going to discourage you. There was, you know who David Peterson is, who does Mouse Guard? He did this game on Kickstarter. He wanted $10,000. He ended up getting $80,000. And I was like, I remember looking at it, I was thinking I was going to buy it, and I thought, well, holy smoke, I'm not going to buy it now. I'm going to wait till it goes to the store. But he got $80,000 in this game. And you know, and I'm not convinced you're going to get $80,000, but I think you're going to succeed, and you're going to hit the stretch goals real well. So don't let that discourage you. Just because Kickstarter is just this weird beast. We just don't know what's going to happen.
It really is. It's unpredictable. It's just something that, as many times as I've done it, and I've done it with different comic books at this point, it's like, you just never know when you hit that launch button what's going to happen. You can only do your best to control that beginning, because that beginning is everything. Mm-hmm. So...
yep, it's so good. Well, now you got Zed you can go back to and work on, and Nook and all these good things, and it sounds like you got other projects coming.
I do have multiple other projects that I just keep coming up with. I just keep coming up with weird ideas, and then I'm like, man, I get sidetracked, and I want to write that stuff instead of what I'm working on.
Well, I've talked to people about that, and what they say is write it down. If you come up with an idea, write it down someplace, and when you get done with what you're working on, go back to that. Now, make good notes, of course. Don't just put something down you can't figure out, which I do all the time. I'm going, what did I mean? I can't understand what that means. But if you can write those things down and then get back to what you need to get done.
Well, you'll be excited to hear that I have written 1.5 more issues of Zed.
Really?
And... my goal is I'm going to do that kids book in the summer on Kickstarter.
Oh, cool.
That's right. I'm going to do Zed is, I'm planning on running a Kickstarter in the fall for Zed. And it may be for one or two issues. So
cool.
That's the goal.
Very good. Very good. Well, all these good things are coming together. It's nice to see things happen and a good story be successful. I'm always happy when I see that. And that's what, with Alter Life, I feel that way. I still feel the same way I did when I picked up that book and read it for the first time. I was just kind of transported, and I was like, man, what is going to happen? I came back the next day, and I said, oh, my gosh, I've got to talk to you for my podcast, because I really enjoyed the book.
That was my fear writing these later issues is, like, these people, they're still having that feeling by issue 4 that they had in the beginning where they were, it's a mystery. The little things are revealed. Time, I try to pace it out, so you're still left with these questions that you're just not quite getting the full story until the end.
Well, I have to tell you, when I read 4, I was shocked. When I found out what was in 4, I was very surprised. And, you know, that's why 5 is just going to be a treat. I can't wait to see what you're going to do with that. I just think it's going to... If anybody has any questions or any reservations about it, let me read you a paragraph off of the Kickstarter. It says, "This is a tale of love and redemption, and every man learning to live with his regrets and confront the demons of his past. Jake is lost in his infinite lives, searching for the meaning behind all of his existences," which if I had read that before I read this, I would be dying to read this book because I like what that says. I think that's a great thing. So I like the way you're saying it. Now let me, I do want to say, because the one thing you were kind of dancing around a little bit that I didn't make you say it out loud is you're talking about getting a career as a comics creator. In other words, full time doing this. And I think you certainly are one of those people that can make that happen, make it be a big success.
Honestly, that's kind of where I'm at this particular moment, mainly because I'm basically, we just relocated from Illinois, and now I'm kind of living the dream. I'm not making money at it yet, but
you're getting there. But you're building the fan base. You're getting things started. And I won't ask you where you are, but it's an interesting thing because I always, there are certain places that have clusters of comics creators, and sometimes it's good to be in there. I live in Florida, and I'm just always stunned at how many comics creators there are in Florida. I can't imagine why there's so many down here. But
still in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with where I'm at with Alter Life and bringing it to conventions, like my goal in the next year is to just bring this book and get people to read it and let people know that I'm out there, and then we'll go from there.
Great. Well, I can tell you, you're on your way. I really have enjoyed it, and I am dying to see that 5th issue and to have that hardback in my collection because it's going to be a wonderful thing. And, Caleb, you've got many more good stories in there that I can't wait to read. So we'll have to do this again and talk some more in the future because I can't wait to see what other things you've got in store for us.
Definitely. Anytime.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next week when I'll have another great interview with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.